Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Post.
And Sister Amen.
We are coming to you for our daily audio edification audio. Mm-hmm. We made it and traveled safe to a new destination. Sister Amen, we hope you're all doing well, by the way. Isn't it always a blessing when we arrive safely at a new destination?
It is, because a lot of things could go wrong on the way.
Accidents, people get sick, you could break down.
It's our house.
Yeah.
It's not just our transportation, it's our house, too.
And I think, you know, like people take a trip once or twice a year and they go, oh, we made it safe. We do that like every other day. We're taking a trip somewhere that's kind of unknown and new.
Yeah.
Not where we live. So we're always thankful. So it's good to be thankful. So we're always thankful when we arrive safe at a new area. We went over some big bridges today.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take some video?
I did.
So we got a video of that for our travel video. Very beautiful ocean scene, the Father's creation. And we're getting in position for a preach. It's supposed to rain this weekend, so it washed out the one preach we're going to do.
Yeah.
But we're trying to make up for it, and we found another thing on tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah.
That we're going to go do.
Yeah, let's see how that goes.
Brother Zelos and Sister Cara at another town not far away to do a preach, and they're going to hopefully, Lord willing, come join us in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good.
Yeah, let's see.
Did we witness along the way?
We did.
What did we do? We went into a marketplace this morning because I wanted to get something done online.
What happened
with you before I even got you walked down there?
Yeah, Brother Two Post was wrapping up the van, and I walked because it wasn't too far away. It was a nice walk in the morning, and as I was walking, a couple was walking their dog toward me, and they said, good morning, how you doing? I said, I'm doing wonderful. Would you like some good news? And they were all smiles until I said that, and the man said, no. And they turned, and they walked.
Wow.
They moved off the sidewalk so I could pass by because they had a big dog. Yeah, and I was like, I just kept going.
When light hits darkness.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And then I got to the marketplace. Brother Two Post was coming shortly after that, and there was a man there waiting to be checked out or waited on or whatever at the counter. And I said, it's really hard to find people to be working and doing things nowadays, to actually have a live person. And he said, yeah, and he talked just a little bit about, you know, workforce when we were younger and things like that. And I agreed with him. And finally, the woman came out. I was doing something. A woman came out to check him out or whatever. And I handed him a gospel card then. And I went to sit down and wait for Brother Two Post. And he came over and he said, thank you for this, but I already have it. And he walked away and sat down at the table. And he sat there reading the card.
He did read the card.
Yeah, so he sat there reading it. That was awesome.
Yeah, I got there and some man saw our van and was getting his food. And he sat down and he said, that your van out there? And I said, yeah. And I got to witness to him for a while. And then his phone rang, and I said, I'm here if you need anything. And he got up and walked away, got his food, came back, and he never did talk to me again. He did say goodbye when he left. But he believed, he agreed with me on the churches, and he was reading the gospel card, so that was awesome.
Yeah. I forgot to say, before we even left this morning.
Oh, this was funny.
I open up the door, and I stick my camera outside, stick my phone to take a picture of the sunshine. And there's a man walking by, and I was like, I took a picture. I said,
we were parked by a garbage dumpster.
Yeah, he was throwing his garbage out. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't taking a picture of you. I was taking a picture of the sun. And he said, are you putting it on YouTube? And right then, Brother Two Post went out there and witnessed to him.
He was a foreigner, and he thanked me for the gospel card, and we talked a little bit, and then he kind of went on his way. So.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, so we had, even though we're just traveling, just moving along. Oh, how could I forget? We pull up to a gas station, and there's some Pentecostal-looking people looking at our sign. Sure enough, it's a Pentecostal pastor.
Yeah.
Talked to him, witnessed to him. He was nice, but as soon as I said, hey, how come if nothing's changed, you don't have blue flames and wind blowing through when people are baptized? And he said, you know, in several of our gatherings, we did have flames on people's heads, and a mighty rushing wind came through. And I said, well, if that's true, sir, why are you keeping pagan holidays, feminization, false gospel, and all the rest? And he said, I got to go.
Yeah.
And right when I was talking to him, a guy walked by and handed me some booklet about patriotism and America's going to fall and all this stuff. And I got to witness to him.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was a lot of activity just traveling. We had some good witnessing.
And then we get here and I go into a store and I was like, just kind of wandering through, looking to see what they had. I found a couple good deals, some dried fruit.
You did.
So that was good. And I was like, well, Lord, if there's anybody in here for, you to use me to witness to. And I looked at some of the women, and they weren't really friendly or nothing. So I thought, well, I'm just going to check out. We got a lot of things to do. And as I went to the checkout, I give the young man a gospel card, and I said, here's some good news for you to read on your break. I said, have a good evening. And he said, wait a minute. What's this? And then he said, so I turned around and came back, and he said that he doesn't go to church. He was asking a few questions about why, you know, why man-made religion was unbiblical, and I explained the gospel card to him. I think he was from Mexico, so he had a little bit of a different, maybe, I don't know if he could understand everything
accent,
I said.
Accent, yeah, Spanish man.
Yeah, different accent, yeah. So that was really interesting. Young man doesn't go to church, and he nodded when I said, you know, about their teaching lies, so he sees through that. So that was, praise God, I pointed out the website, and he smiled really big. He said he's going to check that out. So
nice, good job,
hopefully,
sister.
Yeah, good things going on out
more
here.
More proof that God can use you just in your everyday life, no matter where you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it happens definitely all the time.
Don't always be looking, walking in the Spirit, and ready for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen. We got some emails today, too. We got an email from, I think, a Mennonite. We call them Mennonites. And he basically said that we were off base in so many areas. I asked him what areas were off base in. I'm still waiting for his email. I always get a interesting charge out of these emails. They come to us and they never bring the word of God. They just bring accusations and I think, I believe, I feel. Hey, what did Jesus say we're supposed to base our life on? I think, I feel, I believe, or?
Matthew 4:4.
The word of God.
Every word out of the mouth of God.
Yeah, and then we got an email from a lady saying that I preach wrong, and then we corrected her because she totally judged me wrong and said I do what I don't do, and then I thought it was interesting. She answered me a couple times, and then I had Sister Amon jump on and introduce herself and say, can I help you? And boop, lady's gone.
You know, we noticed that a lot.
Yeah.
That happens.
The women want to come and rebuke men and talk to men. As soon as a woman says, hey, let's you and I talk about women's things, pew, they're gone.
Gone.
Yeah, they're gone. So, but truth always goes out.
And
we had a good phone call tonight with Seeker Man.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, this man is seeking truth, and he's seeing things that he needs to see without me even pointing out to him. He's got good discernment, and he's just starting his journey. And we were talking about how the kingdom of God is so much closer to people that see and want to do it, and they might be like the lower people. They might be the people, the last people you think would come. Then you get these upper echelon people. They have not the heart for the thing of God, and they're a million miles from the kingdom of God. I'm always amazed by that. You take the guy in the gutter, or somebody just above that, or somebody that's lower middle class versus the upper class people, and it's like those people are always ready to come to the kingdom. I have a parable about that, by the way.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that. So the Bible comes true all the time, how the lowly people are coming to the kingdom, and the people lift it up. They think they're good. They got it going on. They don't need the kingdom of God. They're doing fine.
Yeah, I was thinking about how simple and basic this man has, just a simple basic concept of God's word, and he's just learning how to read it and stuff.
Yep.
And he had great wisdom and knowledge,
yeah,
just basic, what do you want to call it? Like some
discernment.
Of it is, yeah, and some is just like almost common sense if you look at it from a world standpoint or whatever. He's got way more of that than the pastors and all these other people who like to say, I've been to Bible school and I got my PhD in this and that. And they don't know nothing compared to this man who just has a pure heart for the Lord.
This is the man that met us out street preaching. Uh-huh. We were at a gospel music festival, uh-huh, over 1,000 people there. We walked around it for hours and not one person wanted to talk about the gospel.
They wanted to argue about
it. Well, they wanted to run us off. They called the police on us and we were perfectly legal.
We had some mocking women.
Yep, the police got the gospel and we were perfectly fine. But none of them wanted to talk about, test themselves, uphold the gospel. This man, who we met right at the end, we weren't even going to stay and I'm glad we did. He came up to the festival, saw us and started talking to us, never even went into the festival because it was almost over.
Yeah.
He was like a sponge. He soaked up the word of God. He actually got rid of a mocker that was in front of me. He told the man, go away. He's not bothering you. And this man was like a sponge, and you could see he was a seeker. And now months later, he calls me, and he's seeking.
Yeah, so let that be an encouragement. Seeds can go deep. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, these seeds that we spread out there, and then God does what he does with them.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, it was a good phone call, and had some fellowship with the brothers today. And, yeah, it was an awesome day. We're thankful for it. It seemed like it was a long day. We always fit a lot in.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do. There's always so much. If you try to sit and figure it out every day, you spend too much time on it.
Yeah, I worked on some things online. And what do we have today? Today, I have a parable to read. We're going to do something a little different as usual than normal. I'm going to read a parable, and Sister's going to read. I have a New Testament parable. She's going to read a New Testament account.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You want mine first?
Of course.
Okay, I'm going to read Luke 1, 46 through 55. And I'll just say the first and second verse that I read here are a couple of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read the whole thing right now. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever."
I like that. Yeah, that first part. I like that. Read those first couple of verses where "my soul does magnify the Lord."
I'll read them again and again and again.
Read those first ones.
"And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I could read those over and over.
I like that, magnifying
the
Lord. So that's what our life should be. It should be the focus, and our goal is to magnify the Lord. Like John the Baptist said, John 3:30, "I must decrease so Christ can increase." So we magnify the Lord rather than magnifying ourselves.
Yeah, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.
I like that.
Yeah, we can rejoice in our Savior.
Yeah, good job. Good selection.
Yeah.
I've got a parable I picked from the New Testament. This is one of my favorite parables. Why? Because it hits home, because I see it all the time when I'm street preaching or when I'm witnessing or whatever. Luke 18:9-14. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing far off, would not even lift so much up his eyes unto heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." We see that all the time in the streets. We see the churchgoers say, "I'm fine, I'm good, I got it going on," and they're pointing at other people, like homosexuals or drunks or worldly people. "Why don't you go witness to them?" As if they think that they're so much better and above the lower class people. That happened at Pinecraft. We had Anabaptists telling us, "Well, the Anabaptist faith is better than most things." And they're not worried about any of their sin. They're not worried about any of their false ways. And then the person, and this has a lot to do with hypocrisy. This Pharisee is supposed to be a person of God and supposed to have the right attitude, whereas the man that's a sinner in the gutter, God's going to have mercy on him because he doesn't even know God.
Right.
But yet Jesus flips it and says, that guy will be justified first, because you hypocrite, you are not going to be justified. You think you're better than everybody. Quite a lesson there.
Yeah, it is. The opposite of what man thinks.
Yeah, we see that all the time in the streets.
Hey, I didn't know. If you're done with that, I wanted to share one more thing. A brother shared this morning. Kind of goes with being out in the streets, kind of.
Okay.
Kind of goes along with it. 2 Chronicles 18:6-7. "But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micah, the son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah, and that's like the man that when was upset that I showed up at Pinecraft and preached against the Anabaptists. We don't like what you have to preach. They can't prove me that I'm unbiblical in scripture, but they don't like that I come there to preach against them. It's like the prophets, and I'm not a prophet, but it's like a prophet that shows up to preach against Israel. Oh yeah, they wanted to kill him. They didn't receive the message.
Nope.
I get it. You're going to go preach against their sin. They're not going to receive it unless they have a contrite heart and they're ready for the truth of God.
Right. And you brought up Pinecraft. We'll paint the picture just a little bit after preaching there all most afternoon, day. I can't remember how long we were there for a long time. Anyway, we were getting ready to go and we're headed back to our vehicles and a whole humongous group.
Like 50 people.
Followed. And what did you just get done saying? That it wasn't, that they didn't like it. Well, you said in the preaching that day at Pinecraft, you said about how the message isn't for you if you don't want it. Or I can't remember exactly what you said. And I'll tell you, sisters, like a third to a half, if not more, of the crowd, they turned right and rode on their bikes, like right after that.
Yeah, there was a couple hundred people standing around us.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't like the preaching? I'm not here to entertain you. I come here to preach the gospel and tell the truth.
Go on your way.
And I said, most of you, this message isn't for you. You're here to mock and laugh. I said, you need to turn around and go on your way right now and leave. And like you said,
they did.
Three quarters of the people laughed and left.
They just
and I said, well, I guess we're done. And we walked to our van, and about 50 people followed us to the van, and they sat there for another hour, probably, 45 minutes.
Yeah, probably,
And listen, and there ended up being two or three seekers in that group.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting when you said that. It was like they say, turn on a dime.
Yep.
They just, like, spun around and went off, and it made me think about resist the devil and he will flee.
Yeah. Yeah, for them, I was like a sideshow because they don't want the truth of God, but they thought, hey, what's he saying? This is cool. And when I call them out and tell them this ain't for you, they're like, yeah, maybe we better leave now. And they left. Good for you. I'm glad they left.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't want to cast God's pearls to them.
No, Yeah, so interesting.
There were some seekers, so that was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, Sister Alma, I think we're going to leave right there. Do you got a verse for us to close out?
I do. I was going to catch you in case you didn't know. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
I like that, the great shepherd of the sheep. I like that.
Yeah, you know, I said that to that young man today. Well, not that, but I said, Jesus said his sheep hear his voice and follow him.
Yeah.
And that was when I was, I briefly went through the gospel with him because he was at work. So I did it like really quickly. And then I said that in there and he was just kind of staring and listening. He nodded his head when I said that. So I said, go follow after him.
Yeah.
We're here to help you.
Most people, last point, most people don't know this. In Israel, if the sheep don't follow the shepherd, they die.
They die.
You know why? Because in Israel, there's very few freshwater rivers and lakes. And the shepherds have to take the sheep to a well, and the shepherds bring the water out of the well and pour it into troughs for them to drink. If the sheep don't follow their shepherd, they don't even get water, let alone they'll get eaten by wolves and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But they literally need the living water from the shepherds. It's not like the sheep in America where they could run off and find some water and food till predators get them. In Israel, the sheep don't follow the shepherd, they won't last a couple days.
Yeah.
And they'll die. So how important is it that we follow our shepherd?
Yeah, amen.
All right. We're going to leave right there. Anything else, Sister Robin?
No, love to the saints.
Yep.
Hopefully you're all striving on. And if you get tomorrow, go serve the Lord with everything that you are.
Yeah, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to hopefully get to our preach tomorrow, hook up with Brother Zelos and Sister Cara. And then this weekend we got rain and nasty storms rolling in. So I think we always have stuff to do, though.
Oh, there's always
a We have lots of stuff to work on, lots of projects and planning for what's coming up. So we're thankful to do what we do.
Amen.
Love you all. Check the gospeldon'tperish.com and make sure you're on that narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
May God be praised.
Amen.